Blog Talk Radio.
The Yakuza Radio. Love the name.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying, my homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
December 23rd, 2010. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. As always, my co-host, which was breathing over the intro, is Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Anyway, sorry about that. I didn't realize that. I thought I had it on mute, and I totally forgot to unmute. How about that fuck up on the intro? I fucked up badly.
You sure did. Yeah, all right. Well.
Yeah, how about you fucking chant that? You fucked up! You fucked up! Yeah, why don't you chant that? Anyway.
So, yeah, man.
Another interesting show.
Yeah, we started off quite interesting, I can tell you that much. So, yeah, man, Merry fucking Christmas, everybody. This is obviously going to be our Christmas week episode. And, you know.
Merry Christmas. Whoops.
Yeah, so we're keeping it going and shit and, you know, doing what we do. We got some shit to talk about tonight. It's been quite an eventful day. There's only so much I'm going to say about certain things, and I think everybody knows what I'm talking about, but there are other things I'm gonna get on later. I have a few people to rip the fucking asshole out of later on the show. Our guest tonight is none other than the Ego Robert Anthony, formerly known as Egotistico Fantastico. We have a pre-recorded interview with him, and you guys will be hearing that in a little while. We're going to do the football picks first. Obviously, as we went off the air last week, I was informed of my 49ers getting trounced, which, you know, was not an enormous surprise to me, but obviously a disappointment. How the fuck are we still in the playoff hunt? That is beyond me. But we are. And all of a sudden, my words
that
come right back.
Division. That fucking division. God damn it.
My words come right back. As I said last week, how the fuck can they go with Alex Smith? So now all of a sudden they're going back with Troy Smith. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, can we please get rid of Alex Smith so he is no longer an option next year? Please. I mean, that's what I want for Christmas is Alex Smith's fucking firing, you know? And hey, man, take a look at Donovan McNabb because it looks like he's on his way out of there after one short year. And I'll take him, man. I'll take him. I'll take Tavares Jackson, you know. A lot of these teams aren't high on guys that I think just need a better role, or there needs to be some kind of alignment there. But I don't want Brett Favre, for the record. You know, of course, old man Favre drags himself, his corpse, out onto the field. And what happens? He gets fucking handed his ass again, carted the fuck back off the field. I don't know what kind of, you know, charity organization this Minnesota Vikings team is, but I really, really wish they would put him out the pasture, because that's ridiculous. If I was a Minnesota Vikings fan, I'd be fucking livid. So, that's, you know, just a couple, you know, tidbits and stuff. Obviously, you fucking Eagle fans out there got quite a thriller over there and upset those choke artist Giants. And, that is quite a spectacle.
Just like I said, just like I said last week, fuck, we're going to get shit done, take care of business. We're fucking going up playing Minnesota this week.
Yeah.
Deshaun Jackson went from doubtful to in the game to fucking scoring the winning touchdown. Man, like, really? Like, who the fuck's going to beat us? Like, come on, Minnesota? Like, who's going to quarterback? Fucking.
Well, they're not even using Tavares Jackson. They have fucking some rookie or some shit like that.
He's
they
a
got
fucking
going
afraid.
On.
He's afraid of the Eagles' defense.
Who is?
Minnesota.
You know, hey. Well, Tavares Jackson's not playing. I believe they're starting the rookie because they have no faith in Tavares Jackson. So, and he might not be the most polished guy ever, you know, but I don't know. He works in Madden. I can tell you that much.
J. Cap Morris's winning streak goes with Savard.
I have no winning streak. Yeah, I went on a nice little tear, but yeah, that's been done and over. So no big deal.
Anyway, we want to welcome to the chat room Joey Garcia. I haven't seen him in a lot. Actually, I've never seen him ever. I know who he is. He's a W fan, but
good guy. Everybody in the chat room, yo, thanks for coming out. Hang in there. This is gonna be a pretty exciting show. Like I said, those people that people might be looking forward to me ripping the asshole of, it's going to happen after the ego interview. So, because I try my best not to step on, you know, I get these guys in there, I get these interviews. I don't want to step on it with doing a tirade bashing somebody that doesn't even deserve to be mentioned. But I can't hold my tongue. So, anyway, let's get these football picks out of the way. Let's get this interview going and let's get this show rolling. So, you know, like we've been doing, Thursday games are happening while we're on the show. So we pick them before the game. We got the Carolina Panthers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh is favored by 13.5 points. Eric picked the Carolina Panthers, and I picked the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's that. We'll see where that goes. I think Pittsburgh's going to smash them. They really don't even need the game for the most part, but
talking like you did about last year. You were all talking confidence and, my team's going to win. And
I wasn't that confident about my team winning. Let's not get it twisted. I wasn't that confident about my team winning.
Oh, no, you were saying Super Bowl. You were saying this. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah, that's insane. Next game we got up on the list here is we got the Dallas Cowboys at the Arizona Cardinals for a Christmas Day showdown. And they got the Cowboys favored by 6.5. Who you got, Eric?
I got Dallas.
And I got Dallas as well. They've been on somewhat of a roll. Arizona's the only team in our division worse than us. And, I'm going to go with that. They're the only team in the division that can't make the playoffs at this point. It's pretty funny. None of them deserve it, so what can I do? Next game, we got the New York Giants at the Green Bay Packers. And we got the Packers favored by 2.5 points. And I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers. And before you go ahead. Who you got?
I got Green Bay.
Okay. Do you know by chance, because I'm picking Green Bay either way, because, I mean, this is pretty much make or break. Like, these guys are not going to make the playoffs if they don't win these last two games. And even then, I'm not even sure if they can do that. But,
they gotta
amazing
hope the
other to
team,
me.
They got to hope the other teams, lose.
Yeah. There's a lot of intangibles, but my main thing that I'm kind of, you know, wondering is Aaron Rodgers playing this week?
Under the assumption that no, I believe Matt Flynn will be starting again. I believe.
That's going to be a bad day, man. I don't know. I'm going to stick with Green Bay. But, if Aaron Rodgers isn't in that game, man, I wish them luck because that guy definitely pulled that team to where they were. So
he's
anyway,
their franchise quarterback. He's their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, of course. You know, he's a guy they waved to old man Favre and told him, hey, you know, go find your future somewhere else, motherfucker. So anyway, we got the New York Jets at the Chicago Bears, with the Bears favored by 1.5 points. Who you got?
I got the Jets.
I got the Jets as well. You know, these are teams, I mean, these guys, all they're fighting, they're trying to, you know, make a point for themselves to be in the playoffs, and yeah, it's going to take
AFC
a lot.
The East is pretty big. That AFC East is pretty tough division. It always will be. You know, a lot of good teams come out of the fucking AFC East. I mean, the Patriots.
Yeah,
what's up with Parcells? Is he still with the Dolphins, or what the fuck? Because I've heard.
I don't know who's with the Dolphins, man. it's pretty bad over there. I know he had, like, an upper role. He wasn't the coach. They got Tony Sperano, I believe. And I don't know, man. They got some bad shit going on over there, too. So, anyway, next game we got Tennessee at Kansas City, with Kansas City favored by 5.5 points. And I got Kansas City.
I'm going with Tennessee.
All right. Then we got my boys, the San Francisco 49ers at the St. Louis Rams, with the Rams favored by 2.5 points.
I'm going
up by
with the
one
Rams.
Game in our division, and Eric's got the Rams. So, of course, you know that I'm not going with the Rams. I'm going with my Niners. And just, hey, man, whatever. Make the fucking playoffs, maybe save Singletary's job, because that shit is, the writing is on the wall, that guy.
The score will be Rams 60, 49ers 3.
Yeah. Your over-under is horrible. I just want to, like, I want you to keep that in mind. And I tell you this often, but please don't ever bet an over-under, because you couldn't be worse at it. You know, I hope for the best. Not saying it's a lock. I'm just saying, you know, whatever, man. It's my team. Then we got the Baltimore Ravens at the Cleveland Browns, with the Baltimore Ravens favored by 3.5, and I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens.
Go with Cleveland.
All right. Then we got the previously mentioned New England Patriots and their wrecking machine going into Buffalo, favored by 7.5 points.
Going New England.
I'm going New England, too. I just don't think there's a lot of stopping these guys. Once they turn that corner, you got Tom Brady and you got Belichick. I mean, these guys are fucking animals. They come playoff time, you never count them out. As long as they show up, they're a force to be reckoned with, man. They could be locked into the playoffs in week two, and they would still be fucking blowing teams out with all their starters in the fourth quarter. They're fucking crazy. So, look for them to dominate. That's, you know, just my personal opinion. But Buffalo's come on strong towards the end of the season, but I don't think it's going to make a damn difference. But, all right, next up we got the Detroit Lions at the Miami Dolphins, with the Miami Dolphins favored by 3.5 points.
I'm going with Detroit.
I'm going to go with Detroit as well. Miami's at the bottom. Has fallen out of Miami. I believe they are statistically out of the playoffs, and just looking for what the fuck's going to go on in their future. Half this game is going to be like a resume for next year, for who's going to get signed where, because their bottom has definitely fallen out. They did terrible last week. Now we got the Washington Redskins at the Jacksonville Jaguars, with the Jags favored by 6.5 points. I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
I'm going with Washington.
All right. McNabb on the sideline. then we're going with Indianapolis at the Oakland Raiders with Indy favored by 3.5, only 3.5 points. Who you got?
I'm going with Oakland.
Well, I'm going with Indy. Is Indy even possible to get into the playoffs at this point? I mean,
they have to hope that Jacksonville keeps losing.
There's some big surprises on the, you know, Peyton Manning not in the playoffs. I mean, you know, shit like this is, it's going to be really, really shocking.
It's like
some
the Rangers
teams
in
just,
the fucking, it's like the Rangers in the World Series, you know. At least
they don't give a fuck
about the World Series, the NFL, the playoffs this year.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's people from every one of these cities that I'm sure are going to be pretty fired up that their team made it over somebody else, so, well. Good for them, but it's not a San Francisco team. Then we got the Houston Texans at the Denver Broncos with the Houston Texans favored by 2.5 points. And going to go with Houston. Who you got, Eric? Eric?
Houston, we have a problem. I'm going with Denver.
Okay. Thought we had a problem because I know where the fuck we went. Thought Jersey had a problem because
I had to mute the phone for a second.
Okay, we got the San Diego Chargers at the Cincinnati Bengals, and San Diego's favored by 7.5 points.
Going with Cincinnati.
Wow, I'm going with San Diego, and I'm glad that Sammy Callahan is over in Japan. So he's as far away from this game as possible,
so
and hopefully it will be less of a blow to, you know.
Well, he's wrestling Kasai on Christmas Day, so.
Yeah, and big, big shout-out to Sammy representing over there. I mean, it's, you know, I've been shouting his praises for a long time now, and that shit ain't going to stop. But, you know, hey, man,
that's
a big thing. Go over there, wrestle on Christmas Day against none other than June Kasai. I mean, that's some
what
big, big shit right there.
What a Christmas, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't. that match isn't going to feel like a celebration afterwards, I can tell you that much. So, yeah, tremendous, tremendous performance.
I wonder what June Kasai is going to give Sammy Callahan after the match for his Christmas gift.
Well, I don't know, man. But, next game we got up is we got the Seattle Seahawks at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the Bucs favored by 6.5 points.
Fuck the Bucs, man. It's all about Seattle.
Okay, so I'm going with the Bucs.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, I'm not picking anybody in my division, if you haven't noticed that. That isn't us. So
what's the next game? 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5.
Tampa?
Yep. So that's that. We got the Minnesota Vikings and whoever the fuck at quarterback. I've heard it's like a, they're running like a raffle, and the winner gets to be the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings this week against your Philadelphia Eagles, with the Eagles favored by 11.5 points. So for that reason, I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings.
Going with Philly.
No surprise. Last and not least, and again, you know, big playoff implications, battle over there is the New Orleans Saints at the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons favored by 2.5 points.
I'm going with New Orleans.
New Orleans, I'm going with Atlanta. So we'll see how this week turns out. We only got but 1 week left after this. And it's been a crazy season.
Maybe we can do some playoff predictions or something.
Yeah, we'll do playoff predictions. And, you know, I guess we'll go into the interview right now. And now we'll come back and do all the other things I got lined up for today. Make sure you hit mute while we go into the interview, Mr.
I will. Don't worry about it.
Tech guy. You know?
Funny guy right there.
Yeah, everybody check out the interview, and we'll see you in a few.
Yep.
I'd like to welcome to the show, at this time, former CZW Junior Heavyweight Champion, former CZW Ironman Champion, Best of the Best 9 Champion, formerly known as Fantastico, the Ego, Robert Anthony. What's going on, man?
What is going on? I'm calling from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where the women are sweeter than in Philadelphia and the weather is even worse. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. I figure we bring you on, you know, we go over some of your career and just get an overall view on everything. So we wanted to start out with how you got training, where you was training, how that got started and everything like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. So I started in 2001 here in Chicago in the Midwest area. And basically what happened was when you turn on a movie, so I'm old, right? So when I watch movies, it's VHS. So to go to channel 3, you know, put on that channel 3. So I turned on that channel 3, and there was like this infomercial for this pro wrestling school. And I was like, oh man, there's wrestling schools in this area? So I went online and I started looking up, and I found 2 wrestling schools. And so I went to one, and the first one I went to was like dirty, and it was like in a warehouse next to a garage, and behind the garages were these Mexican mariachi band guys. So I go in there, and like there's this fat guy with a hole cut in the middle of his shirt, and his belly was sticking out, and there's like one light in there, and it was like this really like dirty feel to it. And the guy that was supposed to talk to us, he never showed up. So we basically sat there for like 2 hours, and they're like, oh, here's tickets to our show if you want to show up. So I'm like, oh, man, this is kind of gross. So like 2 days later, we went to the other school that we found in the area, and this one was nice. It was like a TV studio, and in the back of it, you know, there was a gym, and we got in the ring, because we were backyard wrestlers. I was a big backyard guy, and we got to show them, like, we knew how to do things, stuff like that. And the guy goes, well, did you go to any other schools? I'm like, well, we went to this other one. And he goes, oh, yeah. He's like, I started there. He's like, if you want to have fun, you join that school. If you want to be a pro wrestler, you join this one. And I'm like 17 to go on 18. I'm like, well, I kind of want to have fun and wrestle. I was like, well, if I join this one, I'm not going to have fun. So I ended up joining, like, dirty school.
Offer any fun here?
What's up?
I said, did you offer any fun here? I mean, I know you wrestled in that train, but...
So I know, I was like, man, I wanna have fun. So I like being a young impressionable kid, like being dumb and naive or whatever, like I was like, all right, well, cool. So I left there, went back to the dirty school and signed up, and it ended up being like the best choice because the guy that initially trained me, his name was Sonny Rogers, and he used to wrestle for WWE back in the 80s, and like I have a bunch of tapes of him wrestling Macho Man and Bret and Anvil and stuff like that. And he was just like this big job guy. It was like actually the best move because everybody that joined that really nice school, they never really made anything of themselves. And then it's like you join the dirty school and it's all good. Like when I explain it to other people, I'm saying like you got 2 Christmas presents, right? And one of them's wrapped really nice and there's nothing in it. Then you have the other one wrapped in newspaper and it's got the best gift in it. You know what I mean? So I went with newspaper gift.
Absolutely.
So that basically was the start.
I believe, you know, one of the next moves, I don't know if it was the exact next move, but, one of the first times that I noticed you, you know, just through, you know, whole tape trading and everything as a fan was IWA Mid-South.
Oh, yeah.
What time did you get it into that?
Oh, yeah, what was the year that you saw? Was it 2008 or 9?
Well, I definitely saw you in 2008 with the Ted Petty and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you were definitely in, you know, some matches before that too. And,
yeah.
You know, when did you really get involved there?
What happened was, when I joined that first school, we were kind of segregated. We, the school, Sonny was really old school in the fact that we couldn't really go anywhere else. And it held a lot of us back. So all we did was wrestle each other. for months and, like, going on years, you know what I mean? And I finally realized this is what I was supposed to do, and I started breaking out a little bit. And I'd be like, hey, Sonny, I got a booking in Wisconsin. And the booking in Wisconsin was for a company called MAW, and it was ran by Carmine Espirito, who in itself is a big character, and he's big. He's instrumental in the Midwest when it comes to running shows and stuff like that. But he ran with Ian. And so Sonny let me do that Milwaukee show, and I met Ian there, and Cole Cabana was also there. And me and Cole had, like, kind of a similar personality, and we actually kind of hit it off. And he was like, what are you doing next week? And I'm like, nothing. He's like, well, drive me to the show. And I'm like, okay. So I ended up becoming, like, Cole's bitch, and I would drive him places, and he'd, like, you know, he was kind of like a mentor to begin with. So it was going on 2005, he hooked me up. He's like, Ian was running an IWA show about like 20 minutes from my house. And he's like, hey, I could get you on if you show up. I'm like, all right, awesome. So he's like, all right, you're on. So me and my buddy, Tony Scarpone, we were running a tag team at the time. I was still doing the ego thing, but every now and again I would do this tag team thing without the mask. And so we show up, we do like this run in or whatever. And Ian being Ian, he really just didn't care. He was like, all right, I'm doing this as a favor for Colt, blah, blah, blah. And give us a shot. Then we had, like, two matches after that. I was regular Robert Anthony. And then I just didn't hear anything from him by then. And then Colt kept pushing and pushing, and he was pushing for me to go to Ring of Honor. And for some reason, I have no clue, Gabe, he just didn't want to use me at all, ever. And I don't know if it was Colt's constant pushing. I don't know what it was. He would never want to use me, but I would get little dark matches here and then. And then eventually Ian started using me just a little bit more. And but it all got foiled because by the time Ian wanted to start using me more, I was going down by Harley Race, and I was training with him, and we did the pro wrestling NOAH / like WWE camp, which WWE is there for like 1.5 days, not even. And and from that camp, I got signed. And by 2006, going to 2007, I went to Deep South in Georgia. So that first early on with Ian, that was just, you know, spots here and there. It wasn't until I got let go in 2008 is when Ian started using me regularly because he was running Joliet, which was like literally 5 minutes from my house.
All right. We'll get back to, you know, what went on there and everything else, but how did the whole ego character come about?
Oh, okay. So, like I was saying, I was a big backyard wrestler, and we only had a few friends that wrestled, and we would put on shows. Like, we had a legit ring, a legit high spots ring. One of our buddy's dads, he was a retired cop, he bought it for us. And so we needed matches, you know what I mean? So we decided a lot of us were going to do double gimmicks. We were going to do wear a mask and, you know, whatnot. And I was a big mask wrestling fan. Growing up, Hayabusa was my favorite mask wrestler and stuff like that. So I got this mask made, and I had long hair at the time. And so I would just run around, and we would do, like, funny stuff. Like, I'd go in a mall and cut a promo, and we never really had a name for it. And back then, I always thought I was the best wrestler. My friend was like, man, you think you're the best. You have the biggest ego on all of us. I'm like, well, whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, maybe that should be the character's name. It should be Ego. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, it's got to have a last name. He's like, well, all those Mexican guys, their last names are, like, weird. So he's like, well, how about Fantastico? He's like, Egotistico Fantastico. And I was like, oh, and I was like, it fits. And so my buddy Kenny was actually the inventor of it. It just came out of nowhere and it stuck. You know what I mean? So when I started in 2001, when I joined the school, Sonny was always like, you got to do something different. You got to do something different. You got to do something different. I'm like, well, I got this mask character. He's like, what's the name? I'm like, you can just go Fantastico. He's like, all right, sounds weird. We'll try it. And I was the only one in the Midwest at the time that wore a mask. So instantly people are like, oh, who's this kid? Who's this kid with a funny name? He's white, but he pretends he's Mexican, blah, 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 you know what I mean? But on the shoot, my dad is actually Mexican, so I'm half Mexican. And so that's how it just stuck, you know what I mean? I thought I was going to do it for a couple shows and figure something out, but it ended up, like, fans loved it. It was, like, goofy, something fresh, and I could never get away from it. So that was it's basically the ego thing.
That's cool shit, man.
Yeah.
You got to start somewhere, and it definitely worked out for you to, you know, run with that early gimmick and still work out in the long run, so.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like the littlest things, the things you never think are going to work out, they end up working out the best. And, like, that's the crazy part, you know what I mean?
How was your time in the WWE developmental system?
Okay, so like a lot of people get fired and they're like, oh man, it was so terrible, I'm so happy I got fired, you know what I mean? Like, when I got fired, it was like the worst day of my life, you know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, all these people, like if you read hundreds of interviews, they're like, I got fired, I'm so happy I got fired. I'm like, bullshit, dude. You got paid to wrestle. You know what I mean? Like, this was my schedule. Dude, I got hired, it was the happiest day of my life. Dude, I walked into work, and I was like that scene in Half Baked where he's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Like, man, that was my dream to do. I walked into work, and they're like, yo, you're 5 minutes late. I'm like, yo, fuck you, I quit. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, dead serious, fuck you, I quit. And, like, everybody's like, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I got signed by WWE, I'm out. You know what I mean? It was, like, this biggest thing. It was the happiest thing in my life. Like, as soon as I went down to Georgia, like, because I got signed to Deep South. There was Deep South and OVW. And Deep South was ran by Bill DeMont. And that's where I get my tryout. I got a week tryout in Deep South. So, boom, went straight down to Atlanta. Dude, I took no time. You know, I got hired by Nova. And he was like, take your time. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, dude, I quit my job. You know, I wasn't going to school or nothing like that. I was like, I'm coming. I'm ready to go now. You know what I mean? I did all the stuff I had to do for my contract. Headed straight down Deep South, and this was my schedule, dude. I would play video games until 3 in the morning, wake up at 9, practice till about noon, and then I'm done for the rest of the day. And, like, I'll shoot, I don't care, you know what I mean? I was getting paid, starting off developmental contracts, of $500 a week. So I'm basically getting paid $100 a day for about 4 hours of work, you know what I mean? And it's not even work, man, I'm wrestling practicing. And then, I'm wrestling a show. Like, I'm on, like, we wrestle on a Thursday. That was our show. So Thursday would be my long day. Like, I'd show up about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. We wouldn't even practice. We'd find out who we're wrestling, you know, do whatnot, go home, eat. We could go to the gym. We could do whatever, change, come back to the show at like 5 o'clock at the building and wrestle. You know what I mean? And that was my schedule the whole entire time. Like, I was living the dream, man. Like, I would get, like, 4 hours of sleep. But if you woke up after 4 hours of sleep not tired, like, you knew you were loving what you were doing. You know what I mean? Just play video games all day, work out, go eat, hang out with your friends, just bullshit, and then go wrestle. You know what I mean? And then when Deep South closed, I was like, man, this is crazy. It was, like, this big thing. They're like, no practice today. Go home. You know, you got to get in your nice clothes, your business cash clothes, and come back here at 7 o'clock at night. And everybody's like, man, what's going on? So we head up, we go to the thing, and they shut down Deep South. Like, this is no more. I'm like, oh, dude, am I fired? I'm like, what's going on? They're like, you're all moving to Tampa, Florida. And I'm like, oh, shit. So now I was living in Georgia, which was not really fun because there was nothing to do. Because there was nothing, no good places to eat. We were mixed under shore. Now I'm going to Tampa, Florida, next to the beach. I'm like, oh, dude. So, boom, head down to Tampa, Florida, same schedule. You know what I mean? Wake up at 9, wrestles about noon, shows on Thursday, sometimes on Saturday because we're starting out, and then go to the beach now. Now I'm going to the beach. Now I'm out in the sun.
Video games for the beach.
Yeah, but I was still playing video games. This was when Halo 3 came out. You know what I mean? I got Halo 3 and all that kind of stuff. But still playing video games. Now I'm going to the beach. Now it's a better nightlife. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when I got fired, the way I got fired, I was actually taking a nap when I got fired. I took a nap and I woke up and I got missed 4 calls. And I'm like, oh, man. Because they're all unknown. And when WWE calls you, it's an unknown number. And I'm like, shit. I instantly knew. I was like, I am fired. I know I'm fired because – when you're down there in WWE, like, the biggest complaint I have with it was I never knew what was going on.
Like, I didn't know who knew me, who didn't know me. All I would knew was my trainer. You know what I mean? At the time, it was Dr. Tom Pritchard. And so, like, my trainer would only give me feedback, but you never knew who, if you were doing anything right, if you're doing anything wrong. You know what I mean? Like, so I instantly knew. I was like, all right, I haven't got called for anything. You know what I mean? I was never on TV. This was for NXT. This was for all that shit. So I'm like, I am fired. I know this. So the phone rings again, and this is like the fifth call. So I'm like, dude, I got to do something funny cause for the story. You know what I mean? Because I knew I was going to talk to people. So, boom, I end up just taking a shit, and I like, I'm on the toilet, and the guy calls me. I get hired. My phone call when I got hired lasted about 10 minutes. When I got fired, 37 seconds. You know what I mean? And I'm on the toilet the whole time just so I could, like, oh, I got fired while I was taking a shit. So I was on the phone, and he was like, listen, Rob, he's like, we're firing 8 guys. You know what I mean? It's nothing that you did wrong. And when I got fired, it was a bunch of cuts, man. Ace Steel got fired when I got fired. Who else got fired?
Right.
Brodus Clay, that's on NXT, he got fired the same day I did, but he got hired back because he's Snoop Dogg's bodyguard. But in real life. But, yeah, so us three got fired, and there was all these other guys, and OVW guys got fired. And then, like, 2 days later or 3 days later, they shut down OVW. You know what I mean? So, like, it's not necessarily that I did anything wrong or that I sucked or something like that. It was just because, you know, there's budget cuts, and really, I honestly believe there's nothing for me. And when I got fired, they were like, listen, you're young. You know, I've been there for about, this is like, I was there for like 4 years or so now. And he's like, yo, you're young, and the door's open. And that's what I believe. You know, I still believe the door's open if I want to go back. But it's just, am I going to do it? You know what I mean? Like, I got a letter for Tough Enough. If I want to do Tough Enough, I got to fill out these forms. But I'm not sure if I want to do Tough Enough yet or if I'm even ready.
Right.
So, like, it's all up to me and what I want to do. But WWE was awesome, dude. I had a time in my life, got paid to wrestle, video games, and go to the beach and work out. You know what I mean? Sit by the pool on a Tuesday afternoon while everybody's at work, I'm at a pool.
Now, I mean, who are some of the guys that you can give credit to that, you know, really backed you and, you know, were high on you, you know, that are names in WWE? Were there any of those guys that you can definitely see that see what you had, or?
Well, my first ever match for WWE Developmental. Hold on a second.
Get in, he's going to run out.
Why are you yelling? Why are you yelling? I'm getting yelled at.
I'm going to hit you.
Ooh, I'm going to get hit. So, the first ever match that I had was with that Brodus Clay, and MVP was my agent. So right away MVP was like, yo, this kid's pretty good. And then that's the match with Brodus Clay is what I got signed front by. So they were like, oh, yo, this kid's good. So that was like one guy that was on my back. And then Matt Stryker is actually like a big indie fan, and he knew who I was from being Ego.
Yeah, of course.
And he was like,
he's an indie worker.
Yeah, he's a big indie fan. He's like, oh, you're not wearing the mask? I'm like, no, they don't want me to do it, blah, blah, blah. And so Matt Stryker gave me a lot of advice. Dave Taylor was one of our trainers in Deep South, and Dave had my back. Bill DeMont, actually, Hugh Morris, he requested that I go to Deep South. And so Bill left me there, too.
That's cool. How do you break down the whole entering CZW and, you know, John Zandig's world when you came in?
Well, CZW was a trip. I was doing the IWA thing, and Ian brought in DJ, and this is before DJ was the owner. And DJ was like, hey, you ever want to come to Philadelphia? I'm like, all right, sure. He's like, well, give me your number. I'm like, all right. So I give him my number, and I don't hear anything from him for a few months. And then I get a call from him. He's like, hey, do you want to do this this ladder match thing at Cage of Death? There's going to be like 10 guys and all this different kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, I guess, sure, I guess so. And then it was me and Jason Quick, Carter Gray, and then Dan.
Right.
Roddy Rush, us three were the original Midwest guys for that year, and we rode down there. And then I always heard how like Zandig was the guy you don't really approach. You know what I mean? And like Zandig, if Zandig talks to you, like that's the cool thing. And like right away, I'm like, I knew Drake for a while from EMs and stuff like that. And I was like, Drake, introduce me to Zandig. So like right away, went up to him like, hey, how's it going, man? I'm Robert, blah blah blah. And he was like actually working on our match. He was putting the scaffolds up and stuff like that when I got there. And like I think I got on his good side right away. And then from that, they're like, hey, you want to come back next month? And I'm like, all right. And it was me versus Carter Gray. And we tore it up. And then from there, and Zendig's like, you're booked every month after that. And I was like, dude, that's so good. And by the time me, Carter Gray, and Drew Blood did the aerial assault, we used those tables. And Zendig comes up. He's like, hey, I appreciate you using the tables, but you don't have to do that. He's like, I got enough guys to do that. And I thought that was, like, really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I've always heard, you know, he's definitely a tough guy to work for, so when you do get in like that, it's just a phenomenal thing, and deservingly so.
Ooh. Yeah, this is a good time.
You know, and from that, obviously, you know, you did get on his good graces, and, you know, you did display your talents, and you're the last best of the best champion that went down.
Yeah, 2009, 2010, the last one. I like to think of I'm going to retire it, but no, they're doing another one.
Yeah, of course.
It was a good time. And
plus,
you know what, I'm the last one with Zandig, too, which is kind of crazy. You know what I mean? Like, when Zandig ran the company, I was the last one during the Zandig era.
And how did that whole experience go down? I mean, I know the finals went down great, you know, with Sammy, and you know the rematch just happened at Cage of Death. But you know, how did that tournament go down? And you know, with you going over and everything like that.
Yeah, you know, that tournament was crazy because the first round matchup, me and Drew Blood, went like 3 minutes because he was supposed to do that backflip on the top rope and cracked his skull open, literally. That was probably one of the scariest things that ever happened to me in my entire life. Like, when he jumped over, and I was like, oh, shit, like, reached forward to catch him, and he, like, hit his head on the ground. It was, even when you watch it on tape, it was the loudest, like, smack. I was like, oh, man. And I looked at him, and I, like, ran up to him. I looked at his eyes, and his eyes were open. I was like, yo, you okay? You okay? And he wasn't talking. I was like, fuck. They rolled him over, and just blood gushing everywhere. I was like, oh, fuck.
That is brutal.
Like, yeah, dude, it was the scariest thing. But, like, other than that, it was really fun. Dude. I had a good time. But if, like, my match going into with Shima and Devin Moore right after that was, like, you could totally tell, like, I was, like, totally just freaked out from the whole thing. I was just like, man, this sucks.
Yeah.
But by the time me and Sammy got there, I was getting over it, and Drew was up. He was conscious and talking in the back. Just took a couple stitches in his head, but, like, that whole thing was so scary. I think that's, like, the main thing I think about when I think of that that tournament, is Drew cutting his head open. But the match with Sammy was fun. You know, I beat him then, and then Cage of Death, I beat him again, so it just proves that I'm better than Sammy O'Callaghan, that punk who makes terrible YouTube videos.
For a guy like Sammy Callahan, man, there's not a lot of guys that could say that, but I could say quite looks like you got his number at this point.
Yeah, man, I got him.
Yeah, well, you know, good luck on continuing that. I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with, and a lot of people would wish to have the record you have against him. So that's good shit. And then, yeah, you busted your ass to get that, and for sure, man.
That's one of his best matches. What'd you say?
And I said that's one of his best matches. You know, seeing finals, the best of the best. Didn't come up out on top, but, you know, another match in Cage of Death. Didn't come out on top, but, man, unbelievable matches.
So, yeah, I don't know. The Cage of Death match, was way better than the Best of the Best one. I had a good time in the Cage of Death one. It was just really fun.
Yeah. You know, you had the matches with Moxley, and obviously you're going to have another one with him, but, you know, you had the one that, and it involved a lot of glass and this type of stuff. Now, didn't seem like that wasn't your style. That wasn't like what you're really geared towards. But I mean, you handled it quite well. And what were your whole insights going into that match with the glass and all of that stuff?
Yo, so going into it, I was like, oh, this sucks. And then as soon as I went through glass, I was like, instant regret. I was like, this fucking is horrible. Like the powerbomb didn't hurt. It was the pebbles of glass all in my body. I was like, oh, I was so pissed off. And then, like, I think a couple days after that, Danny Hammock texts me, and he's like, I'm so mad at you. I'm like, why? He's like, you got more back color from one glass bump than I did in my whole entire career. And I was just like, oh, God. So, like, I looked at a DVD, and there was blood everywhere. I was like, this sucks. But, yeah, I wasn't happy. I was not a happy camper.
Yeah, well, you know, it went down as a very good match, and, you know, again, I know
yeah.
it's not your style. We don't expect you in Tournament of Death next year or anything like that,
oh,
but
no. Nope.
It shows that you're very versatile, you know.
Oh, yeah. So hopefully that we don't get a repeat of that when I wrestle Moxley next time.
Well, you're going for the world title. What can you expect?
Yeah, very true.
Another thing that I'd like to ask you about, and has gained tremendous popularity, and I'm a fan of as well, is Fridays with Ego. How did that come up?
Yo, Fridays with Ego, son. So I got all this footage. I tape a bunch of stuff. And I was talking to somebody. I'm like, man, I should do a web show. And they're like, what are you going to do a web show on? I'm like, I have no clue. I was like, I should just do a web show on something. And so he's like, all right, dude, figure it out. So the pilot episode of Friday with Ego is something me and Greg Excellent shot, and
yeah.
Blackie Sanchez. And I was like, Blackie, I got this stupid idea. And this was right after my first Cage of Death, we shot this. And I was like, Blackie, I have this stupid idea. You're going to look like you're going to help us pick up girls, but you end up just going to steal this girl's purse. And he's like, it's because I'm black, right? I'm like, yeah, kind of. But don't be mad about it. He's like, oh, no. Yeah. So he's like, I'm in. I'm like, all right. So I shoot the pilot episode, and I'm like, what am I going to put on this? And Greg actually says, put that thing on there. I'm like, all right, we'll see how it goes. So we did that. And like, people were like, oh, it's pretty funny. So I'm like, all right, cool. So the debut episode, I had no clue what to put on it. So, like, I shot, like, things that I did the entire week. And, like, everything in episode one is what I did for the whole week with, like, no acting. It's, like, we really threw this basketball at each other's nuts, and we did all this stupid
yeah.
stuff. And then by episode two, I was like, all right, this needs to be more of a show with, like, different kind of things. And I was training for that. To Russell Moxley after the glass thing. So I ended up putting that up there. And, like, some people were like, well, it wasn't funny and stuff like that. So I'm like, I don't know. But then by episode three, got the formula down. You know what I mean? We're ran out of gas. We got Scotty Vortex's Street Words of the Day.
Birds of the Week. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it ended up, by episode three is when we came into our own. We got the shows down to a format. And we're on Scenes in Hiatus. Hiatus, I think you say, until Christmas Eve, actually, when season two starts. And we got a lot of fun things going on there. We got, like, Ask a CZW Superstar. A bunch of people emailed in to Friday with Ego at Hotmail.com, and they asked me a bunch of questions. I got a lot of the boys answer them. One of the best ones to look for is this guy wants Sabian to break up with his girlfriend for him, and Sabian did that, which is hilarious. We have some more street words of the day. I'm trying to get Colt Cabana to do one. It's called "You Know You're Jewish If," and so that'll be hilarious. And then I got Nick Gage stuff on there. Nick Gage will be making a debut in season one of episode two, or season two of episode one. So
he's been doing all the work for the show until this point. You know, it's your
production.
So,
shout out to the producer / editor Nicholas Gage.
Of course. That'd be hard at work, the switchboard.
Yeah. He bought a MacBook Pro.
Thing. Yeah. He's got that computer knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's not just a hardcore legend. He's also a hardcore computer editor.
Absolutely. The glasses go on, it's a different guy. But, yeah, man. It's highly entertaining, and everybody should definitely check that out. Prada with Ego. And what were some of your favorite opponents in the past?
Oh, oof. Definitely Drake. I think Drake's one of my favorite ones because me and Drake had some wars for Ian. We haven't yet to wrestle at CZW yet, but Drake is really fun. I think one of my most underrated ones is with Scotty Bortex. Not a lot of people see my match with Scotty in CZW, as well as the Jeff Peterson Cup. We wrestled each other. Dude, Scotty is amazing, and a lot of people are starting to realize that right now, is that he's not just a hardcore guy. Dude, Scotty can go. And dude, when I saw I was wrestling Scotty at CZW, I was like, we're going to tear it up, son. And we did, man. Me and Scotty tore it up, but it wasn't one of those DVDs a lot of people bought. You know what I mean? Like, not a lot of that DVD didn't really break out too much. But I feel that once people start discovering it, they're going to see that me and Scotty Bortex beat the shit out of each other.
Me and, you know, from, you know, Midwest and everything, or, you know, like you are, how did you handle dealing with the douchebag Philadelphia crowd?
At first, they loved me. And, like, I think because we were something new, me and Carter Gray. Like, it was good times. Like, I rarely got shit on. But as soon as I beat Nick Gage is when the turn happened. And no matter what I did, people hated my guts. You know what I mean? It's like in the 80s, it's the regular guy beating Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? Nick Gage is a fucking Hulk Hogan. But I beat Nick Gage, and it just went downhill from there.
Yeah.
Craziness. But in the beginning, they were all right. Near the tail end, I got the blunt of it. And even now, they're hating my guts. But I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're supposed to right now. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a Jersey cat. I go to Philly every month. It takes me 2 hours to get to that piece of shit. But, you know, it is one of the worst crowds ever. And, you know, they do pack. They're one of the most supportive / douchebag crowds in the country. So it's kind of a love-hate relationship, you know. To pack the amount of people they did into a building, phenomenal, you know, in December. And but still, it's just one of the worst group of people I could ever stand around. And, you know, I can only pay for my ticket and be happy that the company's making some money. That's all. But, it's got to be hard as a performer because, you know, there is their ups and downs. And if you're on a down, man, that's got to be tough to deal with. So,
it's all right.
What are some dream matches that you have?
I want to wrestle Liger, son. Anybody from JAP is listening, you book me versus Liger. I'm going to beat the shit out of him. Shoot.
Well,
yeah.
They got supposedly tryouts coming up for New Japan when they they got New Japan coming in to do a show in America and everything over here on the East Coast. And supposedly they're going to have tryout matches and stuff. So I would highly suggest you go over there and wow these motherfuckers like you is on the East Coast already. So
yeah, I got to talk to somebody about this.
Absolutely.
Because I watched him versus Homicide, and I just watched him versus Quack. And put me against Liger, I'm going to kick him in the face. Legit.
Yeah, he still got it.
I'll start
question.
The controversy now. I'll start the controversy now. Liger, come with it. I'm going to get Yakuza kicked in the face on the Yakuza Kick Radio twice.
Yeah, man. Other than Liger, you know, you got any other guys you haven't worked on the indies that you're just dying to get in the ring with?
Who's going to win a wrestle? I don't know. Who have I wrestled? I want to wrestle in these. You know, I want to wrestle Quack. I want to see what would happen if I wrestled Quack. Yeah, because he's all about...
That'd be a phenomenal
match.
Phenomenal
Chikara
match.
Special.
Yeah.
Him or
he's
maybe...
He's
going
to have that ribcage heal up first.
Oh, yeah. Maybe
ribs
him
are fucked
or...
up.
Let me think. What about Necro? I want to wrestle Necro.
Yeah, you just said the glass sucked. That could happen again.
Yeah, Necro hasn't done glass in a while. It'll be all right.
I know. Well, he don't have to do it to bring it in.
I know. You see, you know what it is? I want to sit across from him, and I want to see how hard he can punch me in the face.
You want to do the bar punch?
Yeah, you know what? Necro's getting a little bit older. You know what I mean? And in his older age, I see him calming down. He's not doing the Justice Payne kicks anymore. You know what I mean? I think if I throw him the floor Justin Payne style, Necro will kind of be like, oh,
well,
crap. I don't think he's going to take it out of him the way he did it. Huh?
Well, for that, you got to inappropriately drop him on his head with a misunderstanding and then do the Justice Payne kicks. You know, we talked to Justice about it and everything, and he claimed it was a misunderstanding, and Necro got pretty serious on him. So,
I misinterpreted the rules.
Yeah.
It
was a misunderstanding, just lack of connection or something like that. But no, I think Necro's, I mean, hugely professional. He's an unbelievable talent. It'd be great.
He's awesome.
You know, I mean, if you're craving a bar fight against Necro, man, that's your own ambition, man. I'd love to see it as a fan.
I think I can survive it.
All right. Yeah, that'd be good shit, man. How did you come up with your finisher?
I just thought of it. Another one is I want to wrestle Mondo.
Uh-huh.
I actually, what I did was I found Nick Mondo's YouTube page, and I sent him a thing because apparently everybody's always contacting him. They want him to come back. They want him to come back, and he won't come back. And I found his YouTube page, and I sent him an email, and I was like, motherfucker, you know what I mean? Just talking shit to see if he'd respond. No response.
Yeah.
So I was upset about it. But, I actually would like to wrestle Nick Mondo.
Well, yeah. He doesn't seem interested in the wrestling business since he left it. I mean, he went really, really hard for 3 years. And, you know, I respect everything he's gone through. The only part I get a little bitter about is that, I mean, there's guys in the hardcore business that have went further than him. And it's no disrespect to the time that he's put in. But it just seems like no matter what people do, they can't surpass the legend of Nick Mondo or the wife beater in CZW. And, with all due respect, I mean, the Drake Youngers, the Danny Havocs, the J.C. Baileys have, I think, surpassed that.
You know what? Actually, when Burns was booking CZW for a while, I told him book me versus wife beater, and he wouldn't do it. He's like, well, he won't do it. I'm like, tell him I called him a bitch. He's like, he still won't do it. I'm like, tell him I think he ain't shit. I actually tried to get those crazy matches. I was like, give me wife beater, or I even said Justice Payne. He's like, he won't wrestle. I'm like, tell him I call him a stupid bitch. Like, I was like, you know, all these insults in the world. Like, I wanted to do it. I wanted to see what was up. You know what I mean? But I never say anything about Zandig though, because I'm afraid they'll knock me out.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, those guys are always, you know, legends. They always will be. And, one of our best interviews ever was Justice Payne. Because, I mean, you were able to go back to 2001, 2000, 99.
Yeah.
He did the Pyramid of Hell. And, I mean, unbelievable, like ahead of its time type stuff. And, yeah, man, that's much love for them. So anytime I say that, it's not, you know, against them. It's just a matter of, I really think this is the best CZW's ever been. And a lot of fans, they like to take that other road and say, well, I supported back then, so nothing's like then. Well, I mean, the houses that are being pulled and the total cards that are being compiled, I don't think there's a comparison. So that's just my personal opinion. But
this one.
Before we do let you off, we do want to get a Robert Anthony Ego promo for Yakuza Kick Radio.
Awesome. What do you want me to say?
Whatever you want, man.
Oh, like, is there a caption that you want me to say, radio or Yakuza Kick Radio? Something like that?
Yakuza Kick Radio. You could cut a promo any way you want for it.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, cool. All right, hold on. I got to clear my throat here for this one. This is Robert Anthony, Egotisco Fantasco. Let me start over. That was fucking terrible. Hold on. I got this. All right, I'm going to steal a line from Rocky. All right, so This is Robert Anthony, egotistical fantasco in some circles, the pimp of the Midwest, the dancing destroyer, the king of Sting, the count of Monte Fisto, and also soon-to-be new CZW World Heavyweight Champion on Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yeah, man.
Is that good?
Yeah, sweet, man.
Yeah, I think it's all right. I know, it's ridiculous.
Sweet,
I'm going to
grab me an onion.
Yeah, I want an onion on this ish.
I'm going to grab me an onion, smoke that ish.
Oh, snap. Wait, my God, wait till you see the new Friday with Ego. We got one with Miyamoto and Scotty Borsick, Street Word of the Day. Now, I'm contemplating putting it on the first episode on this Friday or not, but Miyamoto, Scotty Vortex, Street Word of the Day, that's all I got to say. Hilarious.
Yeah, that's bananas, man. Nah, much love to that because that shit is really, really entertaining. And yeah, it's great shit, man. Now, is there anything else you want to promote, plug, whatever? I mean, the mic is yours. By all means, plug everything you got.
Fridays of Ego Season 2 coming December 24th, and there on out, we're going to have different seasons, so we're going to take breaks in between. But that's the main thing, man. Fridays with Ego. Check it out. Support your local
December
independent 24th, wrestling show. Yeah, December
Christmas
24th.
Eve, where at?
Christmas Eve. YouTube.com. Type in YouTube.com. Fridays Ego. That's where it's going to debut. I'm going to throw it up all over places. Like if you're friends with me on the Facebook or whatever, send me a personal message if you're going to send that Facebook message because I only had people I know because it gets kind of crazy. I know Drake was going crazy with all the people that he's been adding, but you got to send me a personal message.
Yeah.
Find me on the Facebook. I'm a hard cookie to find. So if you find me there,
if you're on the East Coast, he's like an hour and a half behind. I know what the clock says, an hour behind. Being in Chicago,
bullshit.
But he's at least an hour and a half behind. So, just so you know, guys, you know what I mean? Have patience. He'll be there.
This motherfucker's a liar. I called him at 8:22 Chicago time. So, that means it's 9:22 your time. So, there's no hour and a half. And then it took these guys another 45 minutes.
All that wind over there is fucking your head up.
So
that Windy City shit is fucking your head up, dog.
This guy
but,
talking the shit. But yeah, man, it was good talking to you. Support CZW.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know, all
radio.
Jokes aside, man, it's a pleasure to have you. And by all means, you know, I wish you good luck in your world title shots, you know, in the near future and everything else. And, you know, Eric, you got any last-minute questions?
I'm good, Jay. I'm good, Jay.
You're good.
Oh, he's good.
Okay.
He's good. I don't want to talk to you anyway.
What are you, Toby? Klein?
I need that to be like a fucking row. We're gonna make that a new like catchphrase for the show because that's the same shit with Toby Klein.
Okay.
I got like a
fine,
you know,
45
minute interview, and he's like, I don't have shit to say, and he's like, good. I didn't want to hear shit from you anyway.
Yeah.
I want every guest to tell them they don't even want to talk to him. You know what I mean? That's great. That's an awesome finale. But, thank you, Ego, very much. Wish you the best of luck in your future endeavors. I'm not firing you. Yeah, I'm not firing you from anywhere. I'm just saying that, you know, you didn't work for me to begin with. So, but, you know.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man. Thank you, and we'll talk to you later, homie.
All right, later.
Peace, man. Eric.
We're back.
All right. Yeah, we're back. And as Ego did say, his show will be returning tomorrow, Fridays with Ego. Finally returning back. Christmas Eve, everybody, check that shit out. This guy is fucking hilarious, and I hope everybody enjoyed that. Okay. Now here we go. Let's get into a few other things. Let me first start off by saying fuck Drew Gulak. He's a piece of shit, and I never disliked Drew Gulak in the past. I always thought he was a good wrestler, and I always thought he was a good guy. Now, there's some things that have been happening that have been transpiring today, and I'm not going to get into that because of, you know, the sensitivity of the subject. However, there's there's an entire message board of douchebags that love to feed off of tragedy and become comedians only when something bad happens to somebody who they would never speak badly of to their face because they're fucking pussies. And then you have a guy who is part of what it should and has always been considered a family. CCW has always been considered a family. And you get a guy like that that you would think is considered that. And this fucking guy has taken an opportunity of a tragedy and gone out of his fucking way to crack every joke under the fucking sun, man. And if everything is the way it looks, we'll definitely be talking about it very, very soon. But, man, I can't say enough about, you know, what a disrespectful douchebag that guy is, man. And for him to just come out like that and just all day with the jokes, man, oh, yeah, you're fucking hilarious to the message board douchebags. But they don't give a fuck about the well-being of you or fucking anybody else in that locker room. And for you to come out of your fucking face with that shit, come on, man. Who are you trying to impress? Because if you fucking died tomorrow, these motherfuckers would laugh at your corpse just like they would anybody else. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying anybody died. I'm just saying that, like, come on, man. That's some disrespectful shit. You should be one of the fucking people that are backing and supporting somebody through a tragedy. Not a guy that's just going to fucking take fucking cheap shots and funny little fucking Conan O'Brien jokes at somebody who's supposed to be family, man. And that's real talk. And the motherfucker you talking about, you'll never live up to the fucking status of his career, ever. Ever in your fucking life. Mark my motherfucking words, dude. Really. And I hope to God that you fucking hear this shit by some stretch of my imagination, because it's so fucking disrespectful. So disrespectful. So that's all I got to say about that. So now that I got it off my chest, talk about some more travesties. Loki, back on the indies, man. And, I mean, I can't say that I didn't see this coming. Loki, you know, unbelievably talented guy. Unbelievably talented. One of the best wrestlers in the fucking world, honestly. This guy works motherfucking hard at his craft. He takes his shit 100% serious. And he doesn't take well to people who don't. So he clashes, he bumps heads with a lot of people. You know, that's been the story of his career, is a hard-working, unbelievable athlete that when it comes down to it, if you're not as hard-working, he's not going to give you the same amount of respect. And I'm not going to speak for the dude to say, you know, what did or didn't happen. I don't know. I can tell you the writing was on the wall, because this past week he got squashed by that dude that his girlfriend beat the shit out of, Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, you know, he gets beat up by his girlfriend and stuff, but somehow squashes Loki. So to me, that was obvious, like, they were building him up against Ziggler, and it seemed like they were building him towards the title. Next thing you know, he gets fucking squashed by this guy that can't beat it, you know what I mean? Not saying he should beat his girl. I'm just saying that, like, he, you know, it went out in public that his girlfriend beat him the fuck up. So, it's not a credible thing to see Loki go down to that guy with really barely any offense. And it's a shame, man. You know, Loki, he's one of those guys that make me give a fuck about wrestling. He's one of those guys that, you know, you see him in that ring, you're going to see nothing but intensity. You're going to get your money's worth, period, because this guy does not hold back. He's not going to phone anything in. He's not going to just do some shit out of script.
He's going to put his all out there. He worked hard to give you what the fuck you deserve. And believe me, man, this, I mean, it's a terrible thing. A lot of people, you know, have had a lot of stuff to say about Loki's attitude, but if everybody was at the work rate of Loki, I think this business would be a lot better. You know, that's just my opinion on the situation and, on Loki as a whole. He's always been one of my favorite guys to watch because when you pay for them fucking tickets and you travel fucking 2 hours, you want your money's worth. But, you know, you want a guy in there kicking the shit out of the other guy and just super fucking athlete. And if Loki isn't that, I don't know who is. And, I can't lie. I'll be glad to see him back on the indies, man, as I always am. But I always hope that the better opportunity will work out for these guys because they fucking earned it 100%. If anyone deserves to be in the big league, it's your Lokis, your homicides. The guys that, you know, get released half the fucking time are a better fit for the company or for the business on a big level than the rest of the people in them fucking locker rooms, man. You turn on that fucking TV, I thank God for TiVo every time I watch one of them fucking shows, WWE or fucking TNA, because, man, it's nothing but boop, 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 fucking skipping through fucking half the show. It's like a 15-minute show that actually went on fucking 2 hours live or 3 hours live. And that's a damn shame. It really is. And, I wish Loki luck, man, and I don't even think he needs luck because he's a hard fucking worker. And welcome back to the indies, bro. We missed you. So, Derek?
Yep.
I know I'm ranting and raving this shit. I want to make sure you're still there. You got an opinion on any of this shit I'm yelling about?
Well, I can't really talk about anything because I got a lot of shit to say, but, we'll talk about, I'll give my opinion in the next few weeks about one certain topic.
Well, the first topic, I'm not looking to elaborate anymore on that, really. I just really wanted to put out there in the open what a douchebag Drew Gulak is, and, how, like, I really hope that every company that books him, mainly CZW, does not fucking book him ever again. And,
All I gotta say is, everybody that goes to the show on the 7th, Payne's on the fucking way, baby, for Drew Gulak. That's right, bitch. Payne, motherfucker. Who?
Well, that's,
Payne.
That's whatever. That's whatever, That's real. So this isn't a work. This isn't a fucking gimmick. This isn't, this is just my personal opinion on it. I mean, if I'm wrong, whatever.
No, but you see what I'm talking about, and this is, it's out in the open.
I know, man, but we don't need to dance around
that
topic anymore. So what do you
think
of Loki and his release from the WWE?
You know what? I'm going to say it right now, Jay, and you're probably going to be confused. But you know what? He wasn't given the fucking time of day. Yeah, they fucking pushed him for a fucking title run, but you know what? That was probably to satisfy every one of us. And then they were like, nope, we're not going to do it. And they fucking took it away. They fucking gave us so much hope, and they fucking screwed us again. Like, what the fuck? Like, we don't want to see that shit. We don't want to see no fucking garbage. We want Loki to win the fucking belt, win a belt. Come on. He's talented enough to fucking, to win a fucking belt,
Yeah.
Like, there was never no fear. Hey, there was never no, Loki threw a fucking chair at somebody. You know what I'm saying? There was never nothing.
Well, I mean, you don't know what goes on backstage, but I could just say that I just don't agree, with his release, honestly. Going off of that, what else do you want to get into?
Oh, well, I want to hear your fucking, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Radio Show. Want to fucking talk about football? Yeah, go fuck your motherfuckers.
Oh, stop fucking. Listen, man. All right, listen, man.
I'm gonna say it like this. I'm gonna start and I'm gonna preface it with this. I've been a fan of Jersey All Pro for a very long time. I support the company. I'm not going to stop supporting the company. I don't show up to every show by any means. Believe me, I do like the product. I can comment on the level of the product and this and that, but bottom line is I paid for Jersey All Pro very many times, and I'm not going to stop paying for Jersey All Pro. Having said that, I've noticed certain similarities and coincidences that have come down the pipe since I started this radio show. Now, Eric, for all those who don't know, had for a long time run the Golden Cravat with a few other people, and Eric's the reason why I have this show. Well, the way that came about was through Trent Acid's passing and my long knowledge, and I call it a fan friendship because, you know, I became
We were talking before the fucking death of Trent Acid.
Right.
About, you know, you're leaving out some details. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you're leaving out some details. But basically, I was supposed to have Trent Acid on the radio show. And basically what happened was that I was looking, me and Trent were talking, and he had wanted a few people on the show with him so he could shoot the shit with him. You know,
right.
To fucking shoot the shit. And I fucking, you know, I got two workers, and then I was like, well, I'm going to find a fan. So I found, you know, through a friend of mine, Pam, you know, she had, you know, was talking, I guess, to Nina or something like that, and then I was like, well, I found you through like that, and, you know, you were talking to me for, you know, a while, and you said you knew Trent, and I fucking, you know, I offered you the position, and, you know, then that fucking whole.
Yeah, you know, I, as a fan, have become very close with Trent, just as, you know, a guy that, you know, to talk to after shows and hang out, drink a little, just random basic fan stuff, like happens all the time in the industry, excuse me. But, you know, so there was that bond right there. So we started talking, and, you know, Eric, you know, he realized that I do have a lot of stories, and I am very, very deeply interested in wrestling. So, you know, after he brought me on and allowed me to speak, you know, on the Trent Acid tribute show that they ran, which, you know, I was greatly appreciative towards. Also, he brought on, and he actually, you know, he let me just stay on the line and listen to the whole thing the whole night, and I was, again, appreciative towards that. Following that, also that night, he had on Fat Frank, because, you know, Fat Frank had, you know, owner of Jersey All Pro, had booked Trent for many, many, many years. Following that, me and Eric started talking about what we could do. You know, I could become part of the Golden Cravat. There were different, you know, differences, and there was different things and this and this. Eric ended up offering me the opportunity to have my own show, which you now have before you. We've had since, I think, July, right?
Yep, July. Around
so, again, I'm extremely grateful, and I love this opportunity, and I'm not going to fucking stop. You get me started on some shit, and I'm not going to go heavy with it.
Nah,
so.
You fucking tore it up, though. We fucking, you know what I'm saying, you fucking took the fucking bull by the fucking horns. You fucking ran with it. I gave you an opportunity, but you fucking, you know, I opened the fucking door, but you had to walk through that door, Jay. I'm really proud of you.
Spray paint my name on the wall. So,
I'm
going to
be
all out of side, right?
Wait a minute. I need something to make myself feel good here, but
go ahead.
Right now, and there was people on the fucking, you know, none of the Golden Cravat crew, so, like, you know, don't fucking hate on the Golden Cravat crew. It was none of those people. But a lot of people were like, why J-Cat? Why this guy? You know, why not me? And I go, well, I don't like your fucking personality, and you're boring. So, and I was like, I like J-Cat's personality. I think fucking, you know, he fucking, he's fucking, you can fucking, I can hear, listen to him, and fucking, I can, you know, enjoy this. I can't fucking, other people are like, why can't I do a show with you? Why can't I do, I'm like, no, fuck that. You're a girl. I'm
so,
for somebody to fucking, you know what I'm saying?
So I noticed, you know, after I did start the show, it was probably about 2 weeks after I started the show. By some random coincidence, on the same server and everything else, Jersey Opera got a show. Now, I don't know what you have to say about that coincidence, Eric, but it just seemed very coincidental. And again, yeah, you know, there's a lot of shows out there. I don't just hate other shows for existing or anything like that. But I'm just saying, what do you think about the coincidence that show showed up?
Well, you know what it was? It wasn't 2 weeks. It was right after the Trinacid thing. About a week later, I get fucking messages. Well, not messages, because at that time, I wasn't doing... See, I'm a fucking lazy motherfucker, and I'll be honest with you. I have women do my fucking jobs for me. You know what I'm saying? I do, you know? So
you're kind of a pimp from what I hear. I don't know.
Anyway, basically, Pam, she did a lot of, you know, like I said, fucking have, you know, I don't talk to anybody, you know what I'm saying? I let people write my press releases, hint, hint. I have people, you know, write my show descriptions, hint, hint. Anyway, but, you know, Pam, you know, Golden Cravat and Slade Dapp, she was, you know, in charge of, you know, talent, you know what I mean, working on getting the talent, shit like that. So basically, Fat, you know, she had gotten a message from Fat Frank, and Fat Frank wanted information about starting a radio show. So basically, she sent him away, and I told him, I was like, well, you have to do this, this, and this. And I was basically telling him the whole face of, hey, you have to pay for this because, you know, it's stupid to not pay for it. You know what I'm saying? Because Block Talk Radio, if you don't pay for the server, it sucks. It would basically, you wouldn't be able to do any of these interviews. You'd fucking come on for 20 minutes and fucking talk, hey, blah, 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 this is what's going on. That's it, though. You know what I mean? If you want to have good service, got to pay for that shit. So, you know,
right.
I told Fat Frank, and Fat Frank was like, nah, I can't do that. So that's what his show sucks. I mean, why he's fucking, you know, I don't understand why he cuts me off after fucking 7 minutes of fucking talking.
Well, that's beyond the point. That's nothing about that, whatever. I mean, you can only have fan callers on for so long, so I'm not, my attack isn't coming from that. So move on to the next page. It's, all right, I listen to the show because I'm a fan of Jersey Opera. Well, the first thing that sticks out to me that I can't fucking stand, because unless you're fucking 12 years old or 7 years old, kayfabe radio sucks. Fucking sucks. Don't bring a fucking guy on and have him talk for fucking 20 minutes about how he's going to kick the ass of some other guy. You can mention some shit. You can not kill your character, but you can also talk to people like they're adults because they're not fucking children listening to podcasts out there. You understand? So that's that. Second off, you got all this shit trying to be the Howard Stern show with the fucking sound drops. The one day I'm at fucking work, man, I got the fucking iPod going, I'm doing my thing. These fuckers almost blew my fucking eardrum and fucking speaker on my headphones with the car crash noise over something someone said that was fucking so unnecessary and ridiculous because they want to be the fucking Howard Stern show. They want to put in sound drops and they want to be fucking all fucking edgy and shit. That shit is so overdone and you motherfuckers have no idea what you're doing. Bottom line, you have no fucking regulate the audio to match your fucking voice, dude. If you're talking for a whole show and I got this shit at a comfortable level and then you have a car crash sound come through that pierces my fucking eardrum, do you think I like your cute little fucking noise, dude? No, I don't. I think you're a bag of shit. I turned your fucking podcast off. I moved on. I listened to some fucking music. That's not going to scream into my fucking ear for no reason. So that's that. Again, rub me the wrong way, but it's not personal. All right? Now, you notice since week two of the NFL, we've been doing football picks. And The only reason it was week two is because we did a J.C. Bailey tribute on week one of the NFL. So that trumps anything that the NFL has to offer because it was far more important to respect this guy. Well, let me segue off of that. Let me just split off of that for 1 second. Actually, I could do it. I could do it this way. So my thing there is now, okay, yeah, we've been doing football picks all season and shit as, you know, a fun part of our wrestling radio show, right? What do I see this past week? Oh, in January, Jersey All-Pro Radio is going to start using football as part of their show. Come on, man. First off, I don't understand why you're on somebody's dick like that. You know what I mean? I don't. And maybe it's not me. Maybe it's complete coincidence, like everything else that has surrounded our fucking radio show, from asking how to do one to fucking doing one to fucking blowing me off on promoting, which I'll get to in just 1 minute. But now all of a sudden, you're going to post-football season, like we started in week two for right reasons. You're starting after the season is over and going to have fucking Giants and Eagle fans square off on your radio show for ratings. Like, dude, I can't even understand what the fuck your mentality is, and you won't even acknowledge our fucking existence. Now, let me get into promotion and why I think – another reason why I think Pat Frank is fucking up severely and doesn't give a shit about his company. I believe, one – his ability to book a card has always been top-notch. I have always looked at his cards and said, wow, that looks really fucking good. And it has drawn me into many, many shows. When you get there, you don't necessarily get what you paid for. You get the same people. He's not ghost booking. You're going to get the card. You're not going to get the matches you dreamed of. And I'll explain it like this. I believe, fuck, man. There's so many examples I could use. Let me just say that I think Jushin Thunder Liger, the legend that he is, has gotten a bigger pop walking into a McDonald's than he did in the fucking Jersey All-Pro show. When he fucking walked into that fucking CZW arena in Philly, or the Asylum arena, or the ECW arena, call it what the fuck you want to. When he walked into that fucking building and out into that fucking crowd, I seriously think he's gotten bigger pops in random public places. In McDonald's, fucking 7-Eleven, fucking a mall somewhere in Georgia, somewhere. Yo, seriously, like, that was one of the lamest fucking pops I've ever heard for a fucking legend. Man,
how about me marking out?
Oh, I mean, I marked out. You marked out. I gotta be completely fucking honest. There is no way in hell that I didn't start the fucking Let's Go Liger chant in that fucking crowd myself. And whatever, man. But that shit should have been started way before me. Any of that, man. That's not me trying to take credit for anything. It's just, that is a fucking legend. If the building doesn't explode when a legend walks out, you're fucking up. Somewhere along the line, that company is fucking up. You could blame the crowd. You could say what you want. And let me say this. We offered that, Frank, and listen, I'm not going to take any credit for anything. I'm not going to take credit for somebody's attendance. I'm not going to take credit for a show going well, and that's definitely not what I'm trying to do by saying this. But what I will say is that we had this big doubleheader. You know, we had the big fucking super fucking weekend, Jersey All-Pro, anniversary show, and Cage of Death at night. We offered both owners of both companies to fucking come on our show and just promote their shit. It's no win or loss to me. It's no sweat off my nuts. You know what I mean? I'm offering you free publicity. It's not like my dream interview to get somebody to just shout a card out on my fucking radio show. That doesn't mean a fucking thing to me other than trying to help the fucking business, help the company. you know, and that's all I was trying to do. Well, we repeatedly got blown off by Fat Frank while DJ came on our show with no problem. Now, DJ's crowd was twice the fucking crowd that Fat Frank's was with Jushin Thunder Liger on Frank's fucking card. I mean, you tell me what's fucking wrong with that picture. You tell me, like, if that looks like an owner that gives a fuck about his company when he booked half the fucking crowd, is fucking blowing people off because his radio show's so fucking good riding off of other people's ideas, and the guy who runs at night fucking blows him out of the water. And then goes on his fucking radio show and says, we didn't do as well as we should have, but we weren't even going to run shows in 2010. Who the fuck cares if you were going to run shows in 2010?
What a stupid comment that was. And you know what? I was confused as hell. Why the hell would he... That's a cop-out. That's a huge cop-out to say that.
So we as fans owe you something because you gave us something
like
when you almost bailed on the year of wrestling. Come on, dude. I mean, I just don't understand your whole angle towards this, your whole attitude towards this. You sound unbelievably fucking arrogant about some shit that is not doing that well. You could partner up with this company, you could partner up with that company, but if your company can't fucking come through, you might as well fold it the fuck up. You might as well do that shit because, oh, well, TNA could do good if you book TNA as a whole, or if you book New Japan as a whole. Yeah, but, dude, fucking anybody could fucking book TNA as a whole, or they're going to sell what TNA's selling, not what you're selling. If you're getting a piece of that, good for you, dude. But it shows no fucking effort as an owner when you're giving up opportunities for free publicity. You're cutting a fucking kayfabe bullshit show, and for whatever reason, man, you know, you're putting on matches, you're putting on cards that are lackluster, as according to
very
what it looks like on paper.
Very,
you know,
lackluster.
And like I said, I'm not just trying to, you know, shit on these cats and say that Jersey All-Pro isn't something to go to. No, honestly, they have a lot of fucking talent, man. They have a lot of fucking good shit there. I don't for one second say that anybody should not go to Jersey All-Pro because they do a good fucking show. But good as opposed to great is a big fucking difference, and I don't think they'll ever be great. I really don't. Not with the attitude that Fat Frank is carrying, you know? I mean, you want to go out there in public and say you want to take a whole fucking year off. What kind of confidence is that for your company? And then when you come up short on the attendance, that's your fucking excuse? Is I was not even going to do this? The fuck is wrong with you? You know? That's just my personal opinion. Beyond biting off my fucking show, that doesn't make a difference in the world to me because I ain't shit. I mean, I ain't got no fucking name in the business. I ain't got no company. I ain't got nothing. Your show's going to get more fucking listeners any fucking day of the week than mine because you have a company backing it. If I work for fucking, you know what I mean? Like, if I was running any type of wrestling company that had a loyal following and running a show, of course I'm going to get fucking listeners just because, shit, you're running a show. You deserve those listeners, man. You earn that shit through years of running a wrestling company. And I don't doubt that one bit. I don't blame anybody for listening to that shit because, you know, I mean, to run a company for as long as you have, man, that's quite impressive. But to do business the way you have lately and everything, it's really fucked up, man. I just don't think that shit is respectful towards the fans. I don't think you're even trying to give them their fucking money's worth. You know, you're just walking around with arrogance and whining about your fucking, you know, what you were going to do or what you were going to do here. Just fold up, walk away, and don't whine, man. And then people will fucking revere Jersey All-Pro as something to be fucking talked about. So that's my personal opinion. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Eric, but I'm going to move on outside of that.
Alrighty.
All right. So you ain't got nothing to add? All right.
No.
That's that. Something I did want to talk about. Another thing that You know, fans, oh, not even want to say fans.
You're getting worked up 2 months ago tonight. This might be the J-Cat, the J-Cat's getting worked show too much.
People piss me off, man. I gotta be honest. People fucking piss me off, man. I get this fucking mic in.
Are we gonna go to another hunting talk this week?
Nah, we're not going into hunting this week. You know what I mean? Just watch Bill Burr shit, man. That's the best thing ever. That's what I was impersonating last weekend.
I got some Christmas questions to ask you. Well, actually, Christmas gifts you have to give me. You know, questions that you gotta answer before the show goes.
We'll go into questions, and I hope I got some fucking questions when I'm done with this. But I gotta mention this too. The DOI, Declaration of Independence, formidable news site for indie wrestling and all the wrestling for the most part. What's funny?
That's funny. Declaration of Independence for message board. Yeah, that's a great.
The message board is retarded, but
that's the best message board in the business.
The actual site is a good source for wrestling news. Well, at the end of the year, they do the year-end awards, and they in detail tell why they chose what wrestler, what promotion, what this as best promotion or best this. And let me tell you that I couldn't agree with them more. Of course, I'm a CZW guy, but they voted CZW as promotion of the year. And for every one of these fucking douchebag haters, and I wasn't talking about their message board. I was talking about the other douchebag message board that surrounds a company that they don't fucking support.
Oh, the faggot fans message board, yeah.
The I'm a fat virgin .com message board. Yeah, that that message board. Well, they have shit to talk all year long. They have a thread saying, "Time to put a bullet in the company. Time to close the doors." Well, they sold Cage of Death out, and I'd like to congratulate them on that because they fucking earned that. They booked a card that was second to none. They fucking showed up. They performed. They put on a fucking show that you can't say a lot about. When you look at the card on paper, you can't say a lot about it. When they fucking put on the show, they didn't fucking Jersey All-Pro it. They gave you your fucking money's worth and some. You know what I mean? Like, Gage Miyamoto, fucking Sammy Ego, fucking, please, man. They put it the fuck on. So when everybody's gung-ho about the company shouldn't exist anymore, they're selling buildings out. Who the fuck says that you should box shit up when you sell a building out? Who the fuck up? Seriously, what kind of mentality is that? Like, are you retarded? Are you fucking people retarded? Are you seriously fucking saying, like if you sell out of a product, you should go, yeah, you know, I don't think we're doing too good. You can't do any better. You can't do any better than selling the fucking building out. You can't do any fucking better than branching out to other markets, to hitting Germany, to hitting fucking North Carolina, to hitting fucking Massachusetts. Now, it doesn't matter that the crowd wasn't the biggest crowds ever when you went to these other, you know, in-country places. The fact of the matter is, you tried it, it might have opened the eyes of some other fans, the stories might be talking, like they say, tell a friend. Next thing you know, that friend is watching, next thing you know. So that shit might have done quite a bit. Either way, man, they sold out Cage of Death, and they didn't fucking fold up because they had a short crowd over in North Carolina. They didn't fold up because they had a short crowd in fucking Massachusetts. They rekindled the fucking relationship with Big Japan Wrestling, and what the fuck does anybody have to say negative about that? What the fuck does anyone, like, seriously, man? Everybody was talking shit. Don't forget for one fucking second that when Zandig was running this company, these same pack of douchebags were talking the same amount of shit, if not more. They want to say, oh, DJ's killing the company. DJ's killing the company. They had shit to say when Zandig was running the company. A lot of shit. And they weren't fucking attending then. You get a certain douchebag on there, he's like, I'm not showing up until you book Wax and B-Boy. Now, while I love B-Boy,
And I definitely like Wax as well. Like, I mean, Wax is, he's contributed unbelievable amount of shit through the years, man. This guy, you know, from the picture taking he did to progressing into a wrestler and busting his fucking ass, you know, from taking bumps from the goddamn rafters to fucking, I mean, showing a tournament of death, fucking bump on his fucking skull. I mean, dude definitely deserves to be there. I don't disagree with that one bit. But to say that I won't show up till you book those two guys, that same fucking guy wasn't showing up to shows when both of those guys were there monthly. Period. That's all I gotta say, man, because these motherfuckers, man, they just want to make demands like they're fucking terrorists, like they got somebody fucking gunpoint. They're fucking hostage demands, you know what I mean? But they ain't gonna kill nobody. That's the thing. Like, you're fucking with a hostage demand off of somebody that got a water pistol. The motherfucker can squirt all he wants. That shit ain't gonna make no fucking difference. And it's a ridiculous fucking form. And I just don't think any attention needs to be paid to that. Like I said, CZW was fucking they were ranked number one in the DOI. And not that the DOI is fucking God school. I tend to enjoy their thing. I don't even go on their message board because it's pretty ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, they got a good news site and they described it very well, and they got the nod. They sold out the biggest fucking, you know, their WrestleMania, their Super Bowl. They fucking sold the building out. That's a success. I don't know if anybody out there has a problem with understanding success. But when you sell a building out, whether your punk ass likes it or not, they succeeded. You could choose not to like the most popular shit in town, but you can't call it a failure because it's the most popular shit in town. I hope that you guys have learned something from what I'm saying, but I know you won't because it's very easily common sense. And that's not my problem. You know, I'm a 32-year-old man, and it's not my job to counsel you through fucking normal life. Like, if someone tells you you're fired and you show up to work the next day, you're not going to get paid for that day. You know, that's, again, man, I could give you a lot of common sense things, but you guys just don't seem to get it. So, yeah. So, okay, off of that, congratulations, CZW, winning another award, selling out fucking Cage of Death, and by all means, it's on, man. 2011, it's going to be no different, no fucking different, and we'll be there January 7th, I'll be there January 7th, breaking news to those in the CZW company that wasn't sure, I will be there January 7th, in full force, supporting, and New Year. And, yeah, man, let's keep proving them wrong. So, what you got, Eric? Eric? Ew.
Yeah, I muted myself again, damn it.
Yeah, this happens.
I wanted to make sure that, you know, you didn't hear my heavy breathing. A lot,
yeah, your
so.
Breathing is ridiculous. You might want to get that shit checked out. I don't know.
Yeah.
You
okay,
might have
I got some questions. Hey, I got one question.
Okay.
I got one question. One question. From Juan.
It's my homie right there. He lives over there not that far away from where I live, so he knows it's fucking cold and I'm standing outside. Go ahead.
All right, Juan says, do you think that the owner of Jersey All-Pro is doing the same thing that Paul Lee did to ECW?
Well, I mean, you kind of got to elaborate on that because I really don't know what you're talking about as far as what Paul Lee did and what Jersey All-Pro is doing.
Well, I got to wait for Juan to fucking maybe running,
well,
paying a lot of people and spending a lot of money. And.
I mean, again, I don't know if that's what he means. I don't really know. See, the thing is, like, a lot of people say, like, he was just paying out too much fucking money. I think that's what Ian did. I think Ian did what Paulie did. He paid so many motherfuckers, and couldn't, none of what he was taking in, none of his revenue matched his fucking overhead at all, not even close. And he lived far beyond his fucking means to the point where, you know, he had to fucking take it home, man. And it's a shame because, you know, there was good company going over there. But Jersey All-Pro, I think, is a little bit different. I don't think that he's in bad shape financially. I don't know the guy like that, but I don't think that he's in bad shape financially. I don't think he's living beyond his means. I honestly think he doesn't give a fuck anymore. That's my personal opinion on that. I just don't think he gives a shit anymore, and he expects the fans to just cower to him and bow to him and support and fucking make him a whole shitload of money. But I really don't think he gives a fuck half as much as the people in the fucking locker room or the other people who have been with him through this time. You know, I don't know specifics. I don't know the fucking locker room. I don't know these people. But there just seems like a lack of passion for this shit. Just like he's fucking telling the public, I didn't even want to run a show this year. Oh, well, that sounds like the guy that I want to support. That sounds like I should really show up to every one of your shows when you're like, I didn't even want to run a single show this year. Oh, all hail, Fat Frank. We should show up to your shows because it really seems like you care. It really seems like your heart's in it right now when until the last minute, you didn't even want to do this shit. That's like, how would you feel about your fucking football team if all week they were cutting interviews going, I don't even want to play a game, man. I don't even want to play a game. I mean, you know, the other team's good and shit, and no, fuck, man, I don't want to play a game. How the fuck would you feel about your football team doing that type of shit? Or after...
Whip them out.
Or after a loss going, we were actually going to forfeit and stay home, man, but, you know, we gave you guys a game, man. We came out there and we played the game. We didn't even want to fucking play, man. I was going to retire from football last week, and then we played anyway. I mean, come on. Does that not look pathetic? Does that not look fucking pathetic? And now fucking New Japan is going to fucking team up with you to fucking have success in the States? Well, please have somebody else handle the fucking promotion, because by all means, we don't need fucking Liger and everybody else getting disrespected by the lack of promotion and have like a fucking, when he walks through the fucking curtain. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just seems like this shit is just going through the motions. It's running the fucking company like you're a high school gym company, like you're fucking, I don't even know, man. It's fucked up, man. Like some of this shit, the way it comes off like a real, real low-rent company. And Jersey All-Pro is far better than that. They've always been known to be better than that. They wouldn't be around this long if that fucking was the same passion they ran with through the time that they ran. They would not fucking live today if that was the case, period. You know?
And Juan also wants to know, where do you see Jersey All-Pro in the next year?
In the next year? Riding off of the coattails of other companies and my radio show. And honestly, my radio show doesn't have coattails, so I'm joking about that part. But, no, riding off other companies. Like, they're going to use TNA to make Frank some money. They're going to use New Japan to make some money. And I'm sure they'll feature some of those guys on their own Jersey All-Pro shows.
Maybe they'll bring Billy Graham in, too, you know.
They're not smart enough to do anything that's fresh and hot and indie. They don't make talent anymore. They really don't. You know, it's sad to me. It's really, really fucking sad to me. And again, you can blame the fucking crowd or you can blame the amount of effort put into your fucking company. When the Southside Players Club's entrance gets a bigger pop than Jushin fucking Thunder Liger. You know, a bunch of fucking 13-year-old-looking bitches with no tits on them come the fuck out, and they get a bigger pop than Jushin Thunder Liger for not knowing how to dance and not fucking developing tits at that point and pretending they're strippers. And you have a fucking stripper pole that fucking CZW security has to carry the fuck out for these underdeveloped chicks to fucking squirm around and fucking underage drink around. I mean, come on, dude. You know, it's pathetic. And there's no fucking excuse for that. There is no reason in the fucking world why the promotion should be that low. Why that your focus should go that heavy on that angle. Why you should turn down free publicity, man. And it's not, my show is not going to fucking make your show a million times better, but it's a clear example on your attitude on the company. I don't need to acknowledge those people. I don't need to fucking promote my shit. No, I got my own radio show, and I got Jushin Thunder Liger, and I'm Italian, and I'll walk around the crowd and not even look at the ring when the matches go on. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of shit that it's real telltale on why the shit is going down like it is, because there's no passion. There's no fucking effort to try to run that company right, and that's just my overall feeling on what he's trying to do. And what he's trying to do, he's not trying to do shit. He's just trying to exist and keep going and be arrogant about it. Like, what do you have to be arrogant about when a fucking company doubles your fucking attendance in the same fucking building on the same fucking day? Do you really think if you ran head-to-head with fucking CZW and Rawway that night, what would your attendance be like that day, Frank? You know? Don't act like you're doing us a fucking favor and not butting heads with CZW so you could do them a fucking favor, because why did you have half the size of a fucking crowd? Why did so many people show up later that fucking day? You know what I mean? Like, seriously, don't come off like you're doing CZW a favor and you always butted heads with them in the past. You were suffering. And you had Jushin Thunder Liger on the fucking card and pulled off half the fucking crowd. It's not about just being better than another company. It's not about this and that. And I'm all about cooperation. I was all about this fucking doubleheader. But when you lack the fucking promotion, you lack the effort to even promote your own shit. And the other company, who promoted the balls off of their shit, doubled your fucking crowd. Who do you blame, Boo? Who do you blame? I didn't want to run the show. I didn't even want to run any shows this year. Oh, you sound professional, dude. That's great. Can I have you sell some stuff for me? Can you run some eBay auctions for me? Because, I mean, your sales pitch is awesome. You know? I got some shit in this shed that, you know, maybe you can use your sales pitch and get me top dollar for. Come on, man. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy to even push a company that way. So.
All righty. So you want my since you didn't buy me nothing this year for Christmas. I'll get some Christmas gifts out of you. You know, ask you a couple of questions. You know, CZW related. I'm
sure.
Looking to purchase some DVDs, so I need to ask you a couple of questions and see what you think about these matches. But how about the first one? I'm pretty sure you've seen it. It was that dishonorable conduct for CZW when Ruckus wrestled Homicide. What was your thoughts? Do you remember that match at all or no?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It was good. It was one of those, like, crazy dream matches. I believe that was at the point where Ruckus was, like, top fucking heel. And I love Ruckus as a heel because Ruckus has never been a big mic guy. But Ruckus really got into talking on the mic and talking a lot of shit and doing his thing, and I thought it was great. Yeah, I would recommend that. I mean, that was when Blackout was at its finest, and Super Heel Group, Ruckus, I believe, was world champion at the time, and yeah, man, I can't say enough about, you know, different periods in CZW. The thing is, and people fail to understand this, CZW has been great throughout. There's parts you're going to like. There's parts you're not going to like. There's parts that you don't like that other people are going to love. And that's the fucking bottom line, dude. if you fucking hate the shit out of Sammy Callahan, I'll fucking show you fucking a couple hundred people that fucking love him. If you hate this guy, I'll show you some motherfuckers that love him. Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't like Sabian. Really? Well, I didn't like the Rockin' Rebel. There's a few people that would stand in the fucking crowd on their feet the whole time he had the fucking mic and yell. And this is a 100% quote. This is not just like, you know, I was a fan, and they would stand on their feet. Like, they were excited, and they would yell, "Say something racist!" And that's what did it. That's what did it for them. You know what I mean? That's what did it for them. To each their own, man. And if that's what fucking does it for you, I don't agree with that 100% at all, man. Like, if racism gets you through a wrestling show, you probably don't like wrestling that much. But what I'm trying to get across is, you know, you might not like this. Look at the next match and see if you like that. Don't hate the whole fucking show because you hated the first match. You know, there is so much shit out there. And the things that CZW has done. Oh, yeah, fucking Mike Beater back in the day tore shit up. Nick Mondo back in the day tore shit up. Well, there's guys right now. There's your Drake Youngers. Cult Fiction. I mean, there was guys that crossed both boundaries. I mean, JC Bailey was tearing shit up from fucking back then with Mondo in the first round of a tournament of death that made fucking tremendous history with Mondo coming off that roof. First round, he was wrestling JC fucking Bailey in unbelievable fucking ladders and light tubes match, you know? And JC was tearing shit up until he left us fucking recently, and, you know, shit, people are still talking about Thumbtack Jacket, fucking JC Bailey, fucking, you know, walking on pins and needles. And, you know, the shock value, the unbelievable spots, the holy shit moments. CCW has never, ever failed to come through with those moments. And the fact of the matter is a lot of people just like to be blind to it because they're so fucking homesick. They're so sold on a certain moment that why isn't a moment happening again? Well, everything is different. It's all different. It all evolves. When you say that, you know, this guy isn't here anymore, so the company is shit, that's crazy. You guys got to really remember, like, the Jeff Rockers on the fucking undercard. The Jeff Rockers, the fucking Towel Boys, the fucking Rick Feinberg. You got to remember this shit, man. You really got to look at the fucking past and go, was everything great back then? No. But you found shit that you really fucking liked and clung to, and there's nothing wrong with that. But by all fucking means, look at the whole product, and I don't see why you can't find something. When you look at a card that has a hardcore match to the level of Gage Miyamoto, and has a wrestling match to the level of Sammy versus fucking Ego, why don't you like it? Out of your own principle, because it's not Wife Beater, and it's not, I don't even know what they're looking for at this point, man. It's brutal. But no, I know, I go quite off topic. But, I recommend that match.
All right, what about another match I was looking at, and maybe I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, we had one of them on, you know, on the show, Justice Payne versus Eddie Kingston.
Can't say that I remember that much of that match.
That was from Night of Infamy 5 in 2006.
Okay. I'll have to go back and watch that again.
The same show where Drake wrestled Danny Havoc, Blackout wrestled Kings of Wrestling.
Okay.
I'll miss you at that show.
I was there. I was definitely there. However, I don't remember that much about that match, so I really can't say much about that. I support the shit out of both of those guys. They're both tremendous. For some reason, that match just didn't lock itself into my brain. I mean, I've been going to CCW for fucking almost 10 years. February will be 10 years that I've been going to CCW. So, you know, some of the shit, and it's no disrespect to anybody, and it's no it's not saying that that match was fucking forgettable or this or that, but I've killed a lot of my brain cells on my own vices, so it's not a matter of anything like that. It's just a matter of I only remember so much. You'd be surprised at how much I do remember, but and so am I. But I can't recall that match enough to really give you a great review on it. But I myself will look into my own library because I do have it in the house. So I might be watching that tonight.
For everybody, the rest of the show is going to be only archived, so we can keep going. All right, you want to keep going?
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
All right. So, best of the best five, Quack winning the best of the best tournament. What was your thoughts on the whole Quack winning the best of the best tournament and really giving that best of the best that, hey, a fucking a big time out of CGW star, you know, other than Winger, winning the tournament. Fucking first tournament Quack has ever won was best of the best.
Yeah, well, I gotta tell you, man, I respect the guy. I think he's a tremendous, tremendous fucking athlete and great, great technical wrestler. I mean, there's very few better than him. But I felt really weird about it. It didn't feel right. For some reason, it didn't feel right. He did. I mean, he did bust his ass. I believe he sucked for the concussion somewhere. Or was that that? Or was that? No. That was the Ted Petty. But, yeah, he deserved it. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it by any means. But for some reason, it felt weird. It felt really, like, handed to him in exchange for something. It felt like a trade-off. Like, Chikara was going to be there, and his guys were going to work there if he could win best of the best. It seemed like one of those, like, TNA contracts where, like, all right, Nash, we're going to sign you, and we promise you the world title, fucking, you know. And it just... It seemed weird like that. And again, I don't compare it to that in saying that Quack didn't deserve it. I do think he did deserve it. Believe me. He's a tremendous athlete. But I don't think he was pushed enough in CZW to be put in that stature to win the best of the best. I don't really agree with a guy just coming in, winning it, and going home. And in the end, that's pretty much what ended up happening. Like, Quack's not going to work CZW anymore. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think it'll ever happen again. I could be wrong. I don't know. It seemed like something happened there. And even with the ownership change, we've seen no signs of Quack. So I know he's injured right now. And, you know, he came back just, you know, to work Liger. And, you know, much respect to him because he busted his fucking ass with a broken rib and some other problems health-wise. Yeah, the dude busted his fucking ass. And, you know, I hope that, you know, in the future he heals up. He's 100%. And we get to see some of him in CZW. That'd be great. But who knows, man? Who knows what really happens, what goes on? And, I just like to say it felt weird. I thought the show was great. I really thought the show was really, really good. It was one of those best of the best that you should definitely check out. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely check that shit out. But in the same token, it came off different to me. It didn't come off like... And I'm not saying that, you know, the top guy in the company should win it every year. I'm just saying that something about it just, I don't know.
Ty Street.
Fucking shit. What about
him? I heard that was your favorite wrestler of all time.
That's weird. That's not even.
That's what the DOI message board said.
Oh, yeah, well, that's probably what they would say. But, nah, man, I don't have anything to say about Ty Street.
Danny DeMonto.
Danny DeMonto, man.
I know he wrestled Dahmer. He wrestled Dahmer in CZW.
He wrestled a lot of people. I don't know, man. It's hard to say because he's got so much fucking hate on the indies. I can't disagree with all of it because, like, I do agree with a lot of, like, the reason why people don't like him. But in the same token, I think that he did progress quite a bit from the start of his career. I mean, anybody that knows online and, you know, YouTube clips and all that type of shit and has seen this motherfucker's pants fall down when he falls off the motherfucking ladder, you know, that shit was hilarious, you know what I mean? And that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying, like he's progressed quite a bit from that to actually work in matches that somebody actually could watch and somebody, you know, there's not a joke in everything that he did. You know, that match right there is fucking ridiculous. That shit was funny as hell. But, you know, like, you know, that chair spot that he would do to the outside. I mean, that takes a good amount of fucking skill to not break your fucking body in half, you know, every time you do it. And, like, just that alone. But, I mean, you know, when he came into CZW, he did a few things, and from my understanding, he was the reason why, or one of the reasons why fucking Niles Young left CZW, which I don't know, man. I don't care if a guy fucking runs in the building that is homeless and eats fucking stray feces from neighborhood dogs, runs in the building and shoots fucking that dude in the face. If it gets rid of Niles Young from any company, I don't hate it. I don't condone him eating feces from neighborhood dogs. I wish he would get a job in a home and not be homeless, but the fact that he gets rid of Niles Young makes me like him. That's pretty much how I feel about Danny DeMano. It could be as inappropriate as you would like to call it, but I fucking hated the existence of Niles Young in CZW, and I always will. I don't think that he's done with CZW either. I think you will probably eventually see him back, and I'll hate every fucking second of it. Not heel heat, nothing like that. Walk out of the building and fucking find something else to do heat. That's all. So that's, you know, that's my personal opinion on that. Like, you know, Danny DeMano, I don't believe he's completely terrible. I don't really feel that he's like a go-to guy or a must-book guy either. Like, you really have to have a plan for this guy, otherwise he's fucking worthless. But that was a good plan. That was a good plan to get rid of that guy. Yeah, I hate that plan at all. But shortly after he was gone, and that was that. And I don't know, man.
Corey Castle as well. Burn your boots.
Well, yeah, that was a whole different thing. But
yeah, he's probably far enough.
What else you got?
What about fucking word? No, another word association, Jude.
Oh man, you're killing me with this fucking low level talent, fucking Jude, man. He took some fucking ass whoopings off of Dahmer, man. Some shit that, like, you were like, oh man, he's about to turn the corner and be something. But it was just like fucking clips that he has to show his friends for the rest of his life because he turned out to nothing. I don't know if he's still alive. I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know what went on next. But he took some fucking bumps and some serious abuse from like the John Dahmer.
There was a ladder match I remember seeing. I think it was Overdrive 04 when it was GQ, Dahmer, and Jude. And I believe Jude took a move of 1,000 maniacs on top of a ladder and busted his head open really bad.
Oh, I don't doubt it, man. Like, the motherfucker was taking some shit to prove himself, and I respected every bit of what he tried to do, but apparently he ain't fucking wrestling anymore. If he is, it's probably the same fucking federation that this... That little female troll work.
Oh, here we go. Here we go with that shit. Here we go.
No, it's not going anywhere. It's just.
Yeah,
you know,
she posted some shit. She posted some shit about the whole fucking situation. You know, today. I fucking looked at it and I fucking said, Wow, what a fucking bitch, you know?
Well, you know, the one I'm talking about, she's a rat, and she works for these companies with 85 letters in it, and it's like if you just, like, unmercifully punch the keyboard, that's the federation she works for, you know? It's like W, X, Y, Z, K, F, M, L, wrestling.
Yeah.
That's what she works for, and maybe that guy's working there. I don't know. I just don't watch that, and no one else does either. You know, other than the families of the wrestlers in the ring, no one watches that. So I'm not really sure if he works that. But like I said, man,
I wonder if the fans dress up as chairs for those shows.
Oh. The fans dress up as chairs all the time at those shows. All the time, man. They run, and I give credit to them because they organize quite a thing. Like, if you have, like, a pirate night party, and everybody comes to your house dressed as a fucking pirate, right? Well, these shows, they have this crazy theme where everybody dresses up as chairs. So if you see it on tape or a YouTube clip or something, the whole crowd is dressed up as chairs. There's a few, you know, defiant little rebels out there that just come as people. But the rest of the crowd, and it's most of the crowd, dressed as chairs, man. And what a great job they do with their costumes. They look just like an empty chair. And I got to give them credit, man. But some of those companies, they're crafty. They're really crafty. And, you know, those are the type of companies that you know, midget rats work for, and it's great. And you know, I'm glad that
WWE needs to start hiring some of these more people. You know,
yeah,
need to start hiring.
CZW needs theme shows, and we need to, instead of 1,500 fans, they should have 1,500 chairs,
and maybe two or three fans. Maybe like,
oh yeah, you got to be defiant. You got to be defiant, you know? So, it is what it is. Whatever, man. I'm off. There's no, but I don't know, man. You got anything else, or what's popping?
Well, you know.
I'll be like all the guests now. I didn't want to talk to you fucking anyway.
Well, good. I didn't want to talk to you either. I was fucking I was co-hosting and talking to you. I'd rather talk to this person, but, you know, I had to talk to you, so,
right.
Hey, whatever. I had to listen to your mouth for fucking 45 minutes, fucking Toby. It was crazy.
Right.
When's the next show we're doing? We're doing that shit before the new year, so we're doing one more show before the end of the year.
Yeah, we have one more show before the end of the year. Check me out on fucking Facebook. Check me out on motherfucking email.
Hey,
you
gotta tell people who you are. They don't know who you are. They'll probably be like, oh, check me out. Okay, M-E.
Right, me,
that's
my name. You cut me off before I can get anywhere. Check me out on fucking email. jcatmorris@yahoo.com. Check me out on Facebook. Jake at Mars. Fucking check me out wherever. Yeah, I mean, hit me up with questions. Hit me up with whatever. Hopefully in the new year, we're going to end up with a website and this and that. You know, I've been in negotiations with high-end people to make a website happen. And, you know, that's all things in the future. But either way, check us out, man. Just trying to do my thing here. I hope all y'all enjoy it. Hope everybody comes back. Come back, listen. Because
next week's going to be an interesting show if, you know, everything goes as planned. We're going to be playing cards, hopefully. We're going to be playing with some cards.
Who knows, man? Who knows?
And
we're
also
going to
have some interesting developments out of some other cases. Hopefully.
Again, man. Don't want to jump into that at all, man. It's the worst fucking nightmare going on in front of me. Seriously. And I got to say that next week's show is going to be something. If nothing else, if I don't get a guest, which I plan on getting a guest, but because this is going to be our end-of-the-year show. This is going to be our big blow-off. And fucking 2011, we're going to start off with a bang, and that's going to be another huge show. So the next two shows is going to be fired up. And if nothing else, just say by fucking some random circumstance I don't get a guest, I'm just going to fucking flip out. I'm just going to flip out on air, and it'll be the best fucking radio you've ever heard. You know what I mean? So either way, man, check us the fuck out next Thursday. What is the date on that?
The 29th? The 28th. I think it's the 29th. 28th or 29th. Who the hell knows?
Well, it'll be our last show in 2010. Wrapping up what is
the year of hell. The year of hell.
This will be wrapping up 5 months of unbelievable radio content here on Yakuza Kick Radio. And you check us the fuck out. You check Ego the fuck out. Come tomorrow, Fridays with Ego, back season 2. Check them out. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'm J-Cat Morris, my homie Eric. Peace, man.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah.
All right, bye.